So in Micah, and it says, people from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a really great verse. And I just kind of pondered it for a while, and I thought, it seems so familiar. Anyone know why? Yeah? Yeah, it's right on the wall there. So I was sitting right beside the verse the whole time, which has nothing to do with the sermon. I just thought, maybe I need a little more sleep over the holidays. So 2020, this year you may have seen on your way in that we're going to be talking about being battle ready. Now you might say that seems very warlike and seems very aggressive and very violent, but we know in the New Testament it says we take the kingdom of God by violence. And what I believe for this coming year is that we don't have to wait passively and watch the enemy take what is rightfully ours as heirs of his kingdom. And I think there's been times, I know for me personally in my life, where I've done that for far too long. This is just how it is. I guess this is just the way it's going to be. There's sin in the world, and you know that is a consequence of sin. But I believe that God has given us his authority and his power so that we don't need to settle. Yes, it's true, there may be times where the consequences of sin continue here on this earth and even are evident in our lives. But at the same time, I don't think we should just sit idly by and go, we can do nothing, a little bit defeatist. So this year, I want to inspire us to take our ground, to stand, to reclaim territory, and to be battle ready. And this is what it looks like to me. I think it's learning how to fight the spiritual battles in our lives using God's strategies and his authority. We've talked about before how throughout the Old Testament, every time the Israelites went into battle, God gave them a specific plan on how to go about that. And I believe that principle is true for us today. I also think it means pressing into prayer as a first response. So you'll notice on our prayer and fasting brochures, if you haven't picked one up, please do so. You'll notice in our prayer room that we've adopted the tag that comes from a popular song, "This is how we fight our battles." So when I talk about being battle ready, I'm talking about that prayer is our first response in the battle. I also believe that we as a church can live the abundant life promised to us in John 10:10. And we'll go to that scripture in a moment. Again, not settling, but saying God has promised us abundant life. He didn't say abundant life once you're with me eternity in heaven. We know about that. But abundant life here on the earth. I believe it means that we're contending for God's freedom and peace and joy in our lives and the lives of our church family and others. And I believe it means that we, as individuals, can stand equipped to lead others through the breaking of strongholds and through freedom and victory. And I also believe it means resisting the enemy. But this is a funny thing, as I was up here yesterday preparing and worshiping and singing a song called I Surrender, how in the battle, it means simultaneously going offensively against the enemy and yet surrendering to God and waving the white flag and saying, God, you are in control, and resting in his might. So John 10:10 says this, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that thief is Satan, the enemy of our souls. And sometimes we lose sight that that is his only purpose. That's it. To steal, to take away our inheritance, to rob us of what is rightfully ours as heirs of God's kingdom, to kill, to bring spiritual death in our lives, to separate us from the love of God. That is his mission, and to destroy. We've seen his destruction here on earth. We've seen it in families. We've seen it in relationships. We've seen it in the war and destruction and lack of peace we experience. He comes to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yes, like not just life, don't just survive, but have life more abundantly. Psalm 144:1 says, praise the Lord who is my rock. He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. The Lord has everything we need to become battle ready in this coming year. And you know, I've heard it said that, well, you know, if we come against the enemy, we're going to get attacked and it's going to be terrible. But I believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we don't have to tolerate that. That in the name of Jesus, we can resist the attacks of the enemy and we don't have to be there victims going, well, you know, we prayed and now look what's happening. We say, no, we have strength and authority in the name of Jesus. He trains my hands for battle and my fingers, or trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, and one of those witnesses now is John Dumas. Dave has asked just to share a few words of tribute at the end of the service. But let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So this says to me, we don't need to tolerate the things that the enemy throws at us. We don't need to tolerate being stuck in sin. We don't need to tolerate remaining in brokenness, that we can strip off every weight that hinders us, and we can move forward victoriously. We sang this morning, break free, break free. And I think as we break through the chains, what that's about for each of us is taking the next step. So sometimes we picture this, oh, I want freedom in Christ. And we go, but I have all these things and freedom is way over here. And what am I going to do? And how is this going to work? And all God's asking us to do is take the next step. Just the next step, the next step. And if you look at this chain, what did it take to break that chain? One link, one link. One step towards freedom, one step taking back, reclaiming territory that the enemy has robbed us of as we advance towards freedom. And I want to encourage you this morning, and this is the word that I felt God laid on my heart as I was praying, that he wants you to know this morning he is for you. So wherever you're at on your journey, whether you're way over here, whether you're somewhere around here, or here, or you feel like you're progressing towards this end, God is for you. This means he's given you the tools to fight, and I. It means he is with us in the battle. How do we know? Well, Psalm 56:9 says, my enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. Zephaniah says he rejoices over us with singing. Romans says nothing can separate us from his love. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And that word if isn't like uncertainty, like if he's for us, I sure hope so, because, you know, I don't know where this is going to end up. It means for as much as God is for us, who can be against us? Here's what all of this means to me. When I picture it, I picture God at the game with the foam finger. You're number one. You're number one. Right? Kind of a silly picture, but at the same time, thinking God is for you. He is on. He's cheering you on. He's not going, how come you're not over here yet? What's taking you so long to do the next step? He's cheering you on. He is for you in this. He wants to see you receive the abundant life he has for you, but he's not over here slamming on you because you haven't quite gotten to where some things need to be in your life. I took the opportunity once again, shameless photo of my granddaughter, Esther, 19 months. And I shared this story with someone a while ago when we were visiting in October. It was so fun because we were watching her just begin to blossom and learn independence and do new things. So one of the times she took her cup of water and she put it on the counter and we heard her say, I get it, right? So proud of herself. And her parents' response back was, yes, you did it. Now, can you imagine for a moment if that scenario was different, where if she puts it on the counter and she cries, I get it, and her parents go, really? You put a cup of water on the counter? Is that the best you can do? How terrible, right? And yet for some reason, we think our Heavenly Father in heaven responds that way. Then when we take that next step, goes, really? That's it? That's not how he responds at all. He yells out and says, you did do it. And we don't accuse little Esther of being proud. Oh, you know, watch out, honey. That's pride seeping in right there. We don't do that. We say, yes, you did it. And this picture was just a couple days ago. She learned to peel her first banana. And the Lord doesn't look at us and go, is that all you can do? You peeled a banana. Big deal. No, he celebrates with us each step on the journey that we take. And my prayer this coming year for us is that he would change our appetites, that we would have such a hunger and a thirst and a desperation in the depths of our soul to say, I want something different. This is not okay. This is not where I want to stay here, both as individuals and as the body of Christ, to say, God, we want more. We want the abundant life you've promised for us. There's a word for this one a popular speaker uses, holy discontent, that we would say, we're not going to be content in this spot. We're going to continue to push forward. We're going to continue to take the kingdom of God by violence. And I believe, too, it means that we have an understanding of who our enemy is and an understanding of our weak spots so that we can be on the offensive and not the defensive. I don't know about you, but after a number of years, I've figured out where a number of my weak spots are. Have you? Anyone kind of know? And where the enemy comes in and just, you know, pokes. Not like a nice, kind little Facebook poke, but like a what Ed used to do to me when we sat together in church on Sundays. Just to, hey, let's see if I can get a rise out of her. Let's see if she'll react. Right, babe? He's playing innocent on that one. But the enemy comes in and he just pokes and prods those weak spots. And we need to have an understanding of who we're fighting so that we can go on the offensive and not simply wait and be a victim of his schemes and his attacks. That verse again, you're going to see a lot this coming year. I encourage you to memorize it if you haven't already. That's why it's up here on the New King James, a translation I haven't used for a bit, but it's where I memorized it as a teenager. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I say no longer. No longer will we just sit aside and let that happen. We will continue to press in prayer. We will continue to believe that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And we will contend. We pray until the answer comes. And sometimes we don't see that answer we want on this side of heaven. That's true. It's a hard reality. But it doesn't mean we stop. It doesn't mean we give up. It means we continue to press in and pray. So this year, battle ready. Learning how to fight the spiritual battles in our lives using God's strategy and his authority. Pressing into prayer as our first response. A church that lives the abundant life promised to us, not settling. A church that stands equipped to lead others to victory over strongholds. A church that contends for God's freedom, peace, and joy in our lives and in the lives of our church family, and that we're ready to fight, but at the same time, we're willing to surrender to God's plan. So what now? What do we do with the great? That's awesome. Yay, 2020. Here we go. Battle ready. What about today? Well, today, can I encourage you to take the next step? I believe all of us have a next step, and I believe more than likely God's already been talking to you about what that is. Perhaps it's just a gentle nudge. You know, you've been stuck there for a little while, or this has been going on for some time, or you've accepted this. And he's just saying, just take the next step. And when you do, cry out to your Heavenly Father and say, I did it. And guess what he's going to say in return? You did it, right? You did it. The other thing we can do is we can enter into this week of prayer and fasting. We can spend time. We talked about this is how we fight our battles in prayer. So if you don't know what that next step is, if you're not even sure there's another step, just take some time to commune with him this week in prayer and fasting. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4 says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So why do we pray and fast? It's how we fight our battles, but it's also because we can't fight the unseen with the seen. Prayer is a spiritual battle, and Ephesians 6 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, the evil forces of this world. We need God, and the power of God is accessed through prayer. Without prayer, it's like going into a lightsaber battle with a Nerf gun. It's just not the same. Star Wars fans agree? All right. Yeah, by the way, with the 24 hours of prayer, I have discovered you can clearly hear the voice of God in a room next to a very large Star Wars movie going on. I just like to put that out there. So for those of you who are trying to find that quiet place to pray, oh, God's so much bigger than that. So we don't fight the unseen with the seen. Or in the words of our Foursquare founder, Amy Semple McPherson, and this is going to appear later today on our Canadian Foursquare missions page, it says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. The Lord still lives today. His power has never abated. His word has never changed. The things he did in Bible days, he still lives to do today. Not a burden is there he cannot bear, nor a fetter he cannot break. No next step is too big for God. No next step is too advanced for him. Nothing has changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." We say, "Lord, we want to see the miracles of yesterday, and we don't see them." I believe they're here. I believe we have seen them. Bill and Gemma, I think of the situation we've been talking about in your family and how God has done some amazing, wonderful things, miraculous things. God is still at work. His power has never abated. The things he did in Bible days, he still lives to do today. I was out walking one day and thinking of the scripture where it talks about as we have faith, if we have faith as a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed," and it's moved from here to there, thrown into the midst of the sea. And I'm looking, this is, you know, Mount Fisher. Can you just picture praying that way and having the mountain just rip, gone, right, from our skyline? But then God began to show me other mountains of addiction, mountains of anxiety, mountains of poverty, sickness, fear, weakness, and sin. He said, "Those are the mountains I want you to remove. Those are the mountains I want you to be praying about." And as we come into this week of prayer and fasting, that next step may include something like that for you, where God is saying, "That is a mountain that was never meant to be there. Have faith, pray it will be removed, and it will be removed." And so I am excited about this coming week. What about the fasting piece? A little quote here, Andrew Murray. "Prayer is reaching out after the unseen. Fasting is letting go of all that is seen and temporal. Fasting helps express, deepen, and confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God." Such a good quote. And as we come into this week of prayer and fasting, you'll see this in the brochure. You can fast the whole week, all the meals if you like. Drink water, that's good. Or you can fast a meal. But one of the things it does is it says to God, "I'm denying these things and I am putting you first." Pastor Ed talked about that during our communion time. The other thing it does is much more practical. I don't know about you, but in our house, dinner takes about an hour from the time you prepare it, put it on the table. That's an hour I now have I can go and be with the Lord in prayer. So there's that practical aspect as well. But as the worship team comes, we're going to sing that song again, "Fire, Fall Down." And I love that song. And I said to Davidson, I felt like we needed to do that song. And I felt like it needed to go in the break the fast service next week, but it just didn't fit. And we come Thursday night, and he doesn't know this ahead of time, and he's put the song in his set list. And what I love about it is it says, "God, I know that you're alive. You came to fix my broken life, and I will never be the same. I will never be the same." Church, let's not leave 2020 the same way we came in. Let's begin to take a series of next steps towards the abundant life he has for us. Let's begin to say to the enemy, no longer do you have authority or say in my life, but I am submitting to the will of God and his authority. So would you stand with me and let's sing this together as a declaration of faith and belief, but also as a prayer. And pray, Lord, what link do you want to break off of me? What is the next step? Lord, where do you want to deal with me? We have all week to examine this together and to pray that way. So if you don't hear anything specific today, don't get discouraged. Just continue to lean into that. But I believe that the Lord wants to take all of us on a next step. And that next step may even be being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit for the first time. It may even be stepping out in boldness to do something you've never done before. It may be preaching the gospel to somebody you know that you need to preach the gospel to. It might be exercising a gift that's been dormant for a while out of fear. But let's press into him now. Let's lean into him as we close with a song and just say, Lord, what is the next step? I am going to be battle ready this year. I'm going to reclaim what you've given to me.